the way to find love is to bring love to yourself and bring love to the world. So what I would say to new entrepreneurs is, what are you good at? What are you good at? What's the first thing you could make money from? Just do that and bring purpose to it, and it will unfold. And when you can be in love with the journey, well, that is the purpose. So bring purpose to what you are doing in every moment.
You're listening to All In, a podcast brought to you by The Refined Gentleman's Lifestyle Lounge, powered by Podcast Network Asia. In this episode, Noel sits down and talks to his mentor, Monty Hook. A serial entrepreneur since the age of 8, Monty Hook now uses his experience as a trusted advisor and mentor to guide CEOs, founders, and leaders to scale their businesses, find deeper purpose, and develop their legacy. This is All In.
How are you feeling? How's everything with you?
Yeah, good, man. I burst my eardrum.
From surfing?
I burst my eardrum. Yeah, surfing.
Do you surf every day?
I would if I didn't have broken ribs or burst.
I think it's a message. No, man, thank you for being on All In. I mean, this is, like, we talked about it just last week. And, you know, and I think a little background story for the listeners is, like, I've been actually the last couple All In podcasts, I've been kind of pushing a little bit of the mentor, how important a mentor is. And, you know, I mean, everyone, I said, you got to surround yourself with the right people. You know, you'll get successful if you surround yourself with successful people. So, I mean, this is just the universe talking. You reached out to me just last week right after the podcast and said, hey, I want to get on. So here you are. This is my mentor, everyone. I mean, this is the guy I've been talking to anytime I have any questions about business, anything about the business with the Refine or all the other projects. Monty's always the one I call up because he speaks the truth to me. Like, he doesn't sugarcoat anything. You basically tell me, you know, you basically break it down. And again, no sugarcoating. And that's what I love. And then we find a solution afterwards, or you help me guide me to direction. So, I mean, that's why I think this interview for me is, this episode is so exciting, because I get to, people get to see who the person, you know, who I've been talking to, and how important it is to have a mentor. Because everyone's asking me, you know, how did you get where you are today, right? Even in the Philippines, 3 years. And I'll be honest with you, surrounding myself with successful people and, you know, having a connection with Monty. So Monty, like, let's, you know, get stuff from the very beginning, man. Like, I'm assuming you woke up and you were born an entrepreneur.
I don't know if it's that easy, but I think it's I don't know if it's in the, there's something in the DNA for sure. I think it's, you know, different people have different personalities, but for me, it was, I think it was born out of a pure desire for more when I was young. I had my first business when I was 8. And I just remember some of my memories as a kid is not great memories. It's like not having enough, right? We were poor by Australian standards. You know, rich, you know, in hindsight, as an adult, I can kind of look back and go, yeah, we were better off than 95% of the planet. But as a kid, I grew up on a boat. It was kind of like a trailer on water. And we never had a TV. We didn't have electricity. I used to, like, you know, shower in a tub. I remember this red tub that I used to, like, have to, mum would, like, boil water and tip it on my head. And that's how how me and my sister showered. Yeah. And I was always kind of looking around, comparing myself to other kids. And they were like, they had video games and stuff like that. And it's like, we didn't have a TV. So from a young age, I was just always driven to create more for myself. And that was kind of where I think the desire was born from. Are there some inherent traits, you know, that I was born with? Yes, probably. I think it's, you know, there's personality traits that we inherit, and I'm sure there's parts of that which helped me to be an entrepreneur for sure. But I think without that experience of that feeling of lack, which gave me that desire and that drive, which was born out of pain, which can't last forever, by the way. You know, that's what pushed the entrepreneurship. So, you know, I think entrepreneurship, sure, you can have the skills and abilities, but, you know, it's got to be pushed by something, you know, it's got to be driven by
Yeah, it's that secret ingredient, that special sauce that I think all entrepreneurs has to have. Because I always say it, that there's always entrepreneurs and there's wantrepreneurs. And it's the wantrepreneurs that doesn't have the special secret sauce that drives you through the hardest times of your business. Like, you know, every entrepreneur has faced that. And it's how you get past it and how you learn from it is the thing. But a lot of wantrepreneurs, they'll quit and they'll move on to something new, right? So, I mean, that's interesting because I feel like everybody has that story. The last person I interviewed, Joshua, similar story, actually probably 10 times worse in a sense, but he used, in the end of it, he used it just like you to power him, you know, through everything and wanting more. So, like, I mean, for you, like for entrepreneurship, like I think the question I always get asked, how do I know I'm an entrepreneur and not a wantrepreneur?
Yeah. I think there's actually a path for anybody to be an entrepreneur. I think it's more a matter of figuring out what your natural gifts and abilities are and figuring out how to use that in the context of entrepreneurship. You know, I think where a lot of people go wrong, especially now in 2020, there's so much romanticism around being an entrepreneur, right? Now it's like being an entrepreneur is cool. And, you know, people aspire to be an entrepreneur. And when you think of, you know, from the outside looking in, what is entrepreneurship? You know, people think of startups and tech companies and all this kind of thing. And I mean, that's just like the smallest piece of it.
Yeah.
And I think so many people are, you know, there's a term intrapreneur, right? And that is where somebody has entrepreneurial skills, but they're better off inside somebody else's business.
Right? Yes.
So, example, you know, like Microsoft, Bill Gates' business partner, he was an intrapreneur inside the business, helps the organization from the inside out. He's not the face of it, right? He's not the main guy.
Yeah.
But without that person, it wouldn't be the success that it is. But there's this romanticism around being an entrepreneur and being the face of it, and I'm going to be famous and, you know, I'm going to be on Shark Tank and whatever it is, right? If you can remove that part of it and figure out what your natural gifts and abilities are and figure out a pathway exactly for that. And sometimes, well, actually probably more often than not, it's not the romanticized notion of entrepreneurship. It's something completely different. And the only way to really figure that out is to put yourself out there and be trying things. But I think where a lot of people could be going through a process to find their gifts and abilities better is by first putting themselves into other people's businesses, like help other people in their business before trying to figure out your own thing, because you'll pick up skills, abilities, you'll get mentoring, you know, you'll get basically free lessons, right? And you might figure out that you're really great in supporting somebody else in their business, and that might be your fastest, you know, track to entrepreneurship. To me, that's still entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship doesn't have to be, you know, around startups. That's not what it's all about.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's how I became a quote unquote entrepreneur. I think it's always been in the blood, but I became an art director in advertising, but it was the 20 years in advertising and working with businesses and branding that I realized, wait a minute, I can do this myself. I can take a business and actually brand it myself and run it myself. And even going into it, I realized, oh man, I can't do that. I'm not good at that, but I'm good at that. So I think that's also a good message to kind of teach too, is that I think a lot of entrepreneurs, especially the new ones, they think they have to do it by themselves, right? They think that, oh, entrepreneur, I'm by myself. I got to run my whole company. This is mine. Oh man. But then when something fails that you're not good at, they're like, oh man, I suck as an entrepreneur. So to your point, you're saying that basically, you know, you got to find out what you are, but also that's a good way to find out, bring other people in that's good at what they do and create that perfect team, because you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, there is merit in an entrepreneur. If you are going to go down this path of, you know, starting your own business, there is merit in working in all departments, right? The issue is if you try to stay in all departments, you know, you want to as quickly as possible figure out what you're good at. But the other part of that is, sometimes what you're really great at, like what your natural gifts and abilities are, isn't necessarily what the business needs at that time. So like, I'll give you a perfect example. What happens a lot that I see with a lot of businesses is people think, you know, oh, I'm not the best salesperson in the world, or they don't enjoy sales. So they try to put a salesperson in place, right? Mm-hmm. But usually the founder is the best person to sell the products or services, because nobody's ever going to have that passion behind the business. So nobody's going to speak about the business with that same level of power.
Yeah.
So I think people quite often, founders are trying to remove themselves from things which they don't enjoy doing, but maybe they should stay in certainly for longer until they get to a certain level of scale. And then it's a matter of duplication, right? So the way I think to scale a business is not so much around finding people who are better than you and just putting them in because you think that they're a better salesperson. It's you going through the process, working out, you know, where things really work, and then duplicating what works, right? Rather than trying to give away a whole department or whatever. If you've got partners, even better. Like if you've got complementary partners, you know, to start with, that's beautiful. But if you're just a kind of a founder on your own, then, you know, there's definitely merit in, you know, working all departments, but as quickly as possible. Like the idea is to figure out where your highest value is. And your job as the CEO or the founder, your job is to make money for the business, right? So even though you might not be the best salesperson in the world, is what the business needs at this time to bring money in the door for the business?
Yeah.
Maybe it is, yes. That means your highest value at that time is to do what's right for the business and do sales, right? So usually the best path for an entrepreneur is to get your time back, right? So clear away as much of the menial stuff as possible. So rather than hiring a salesperson, that's one example, or hiring a marketing person or whatever, hire an executive assistant, hire a virtual assistant, and get your time back so you can focus on more high value activities. That mm-hmm. is usually a better pathway forward.
Is that so? When you started out like many years ago, like really your first business or even past that, is that things that you learned, or is it like, did you have a mentor? Like, how did you come to where you are now, especially in the beginning? I think a lot of people right now listening to this are brand new at entrepreneurship. And there's always questions. I get questions all the time. How do I start? You know, how do I? And I think when they ask that, I had a call once last week, and they were asking me to be their business coach. And they were asking that question, is how to start? Like, how do they start? And I think a lot of it is the question is, how do I start without failing, is what I'm kind of hearing a lot of times when I talk to people. Mm-hmm. So for you, when you started out, man, like, what was your, like, how did you get that mindset to fucking just do it? Like, fucking, like Nike says, just do it. Like, what made you, all right, I'm going in? And, you know, obviously back then we're both older people. We don't have a lot of the internet and the online and the Gary Vaynerchuks and all that, the Simon Sinek's of the world telling us, okay, here's some, you know, red flags to watch out for. So for you starting young, how did you get that started?
Well, I didn't have any guidance. I think it was more the case that, especially when I was young, like my parents weren't entrepreneurs. So there wasn't really that kind of level of encouragement. I did from my grandfather. Right. So I learned a lot of, I guess, personal development things from my grandfather, and a lot of things kind of dropped in around business and wealth creation and stuff like that. I think that was a moving force for me. I think sometimes the answer to, you know, figuring out entrepreneurship or building a business is not necessarily just the lessons of the strategic things about business, right? Entrepreneurship is kind of like a lifelong journey, mm-hmm. and it's the lessons come from the experiences, right? There's just some things that you just cannot learn from a book, or things that you can learn that won't drop in until you experience it, right?
Yeah.
And as you would know, it's not until you experience these things over time that certain lessons kind of drop in. But I think what happens in life in general is that people are looking for shortcuts, right? They're looking for the quick wins, the answers. Can people make money in a short amount of time? Absolutely. But my question on that is that sustainable, right? Now, you know, I know people that have created businesses and done well online, and within a few months, they're making really great money. But if that all stops, right, do they have the ability to do it again? Like, yeah. I mean, I just know that if I lost everything today, right, I mean, I would be fine. Like, I wouldn't, I'm not starting from scratch because I've got standards that I've kind of, lessons that I'm, you know, that are with me now forever, right? And I think there's no substituting that. You know, you've got to go through the experiences. But, you know, so as when I was young, I didn't really have mentors. And when I was starting to build businesses in my 20s, there's probably, if I'm going to look back in time and go, if there's something that could have, that I could have definitely done better, it's having more mentorship. I did a lot of learning and reading, but I did too much of trying to figure stuff out on my own.
Yeah. Right?
And that's something that took me way too long. So 100%, you know, what you're saying, you know, if people are starting out, it's definitely a good way to go to have mentors in place, but have the mindset of just being willing to fail. Like, make this about the lifelong journey of being an entrepreneur, not just building businesses to make money. Yes, sure, the whole purpose of building business is to make money.
Yeah.
But if you're not in love with the process, right? Like, you know, like what Gary Vee says, it's like you've got to love the process.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be too hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I love Gary Vaynerchuk. That's why I love Gary, because he's addicted to the hustle. That's it. It's the hard grind, the everyday grind. That's what you have to be addicted to, because like you said in the beginning, they romanticized being an entrepreneur. Because I still remember when, long time ago, when I said I was an entrepreneur, people heard that and they said, oh, you're unemployed, right? That's what it equates to. But now, oh man, you're an entrepreneur. Wow, what do you have? You know, so you're right. Like, that's why I think, you know, I really, you know, reached out to you quite a bit in everything, good times and bad times, to get your viewpoint, because it's someone other than what's in my head, right? And that's what's important.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the biggest thing about mentorship or coaching, is having an outside perspective, because, you know, the saying that I use is, you can't see the picture when you're living inside the frame.
Yeah. Right?
So when you're immersed in something and, you know, shit is hard, you don't have proper perspective. So to have somebody from the outside go, hey, hang on, how about this? Have you thought about it this way? All of a sudden things become clear. So to me, that would be the, you know, if I'm going to look back in time and go, oh, if I had one thing that would have fast-tracked me, or, you know, made my journey faster or easier or whatever, for sure, it's having that perspective from somebody else, for sure. But I mean, you see the surfboard here. I mean, the reason I have a surfboard here is because I'm in Bali. I live in Bali. And, you know, you mentioned before about Gary Vee. The hustle in the start is important, right? But I think what people have to realize is that it's not the end game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that the hustle is, the hustle gets you to a certain level, right? And then the idea is, over time, you want to create different standards for yourself, right? So let me give you a business-related example, right? When you're starting out a business, you're not making any money. You've only got one job, right? And that is, how can I make money today, right? So you don't want to work on six-month-long marketing campaigns and hire people. You just got to pick up the phone and knock on doors and get money in the door, right? So you've got to play the game for where you are at the time. And in the start, you've got to play that game. And I think this goes back to your other point. People are looking for shortcuts. They want to bypass that, right? But that's where the greatest lessons are. That's where the greatest entrepreneur lessons are. That's the hustle. That's the grind. And I think what Gary Vee is talking about is, yes, the hustle is real, but it's not for the sake of the hard work. It's for the lessons, like the lessons that you learn, picking up the phone, knocking on doors, having meetings, doing networking, doing this stuff, like the lessons that you learn about yourself and entrepreneurship, that's where the greatest kind of gains are. But then there's certain, you know, you go up a level and then it's like, well, now you've got people working for you. And now for me, the game is totally different. Like I'm just removed from the businesses and then I work with people like you.
Yeah.
Right. And my objective now is to not be in your business, but I can help you make money. And then I win out of that.
Yeah.
And I stay here in Bali
and I surf. And go surf. I love it.
I drink coconuts.
I mean, it's essential, man. And I can't stress that more because the problem today is, and maybe it's just a lack of finances or the importance of it, but I know entrepreneurs, sometimes they don't even want to get a mentor because they don't want to pay for the mentor. Like, you know, you have to invest in yourself. And we keep on saying that you have to invest in your business, in yourself. For me, it's been, I can't even tell you, there's no financial number that with, you know, every time I had a problem, not that you solved the problem, you kind of guided me to a direction to check it out and figure it out myself. And those lessons now, every time I open something like another project or a new business, I'm noticing it's getting easier and easier to get it started, right? And that's what helped me having a mentor like yourself. Now our conversations, we don't talk as much, but we don't talk too much in depth of what it goes, oh, what are you doing? Okay, this is what I'm doing. La, la, la. Okay, good. You're going the right direction. And that, hearing that, it's like, oh, you know, there's that confidence. And we, you know, I can be transparent. There was but 2 months ago, you even called me out on it. It's like, you lost that. What, there's something, it's not in your eyes anymore. What's going on? And then you gave me a hard lesson and kind of, you know, really gave me that talk. And I came back, I think 3 weeks later with a whole new perspective and presented you, hey, what do you think of this? Oh yeah. And you're like, welcome back. And that's what I needed. You know, I hear people, oh, you're going to be fine. And don't worry. No, I needed the fucking black and white. This is what's happening. So I think for you, as what you're doing now, I mean, it's essential. And people listening, that is one of the most important things if you're starting a business, especially in the beginning, to get the guidance from someone like Monty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's probably the difference between somebody, like there's a lot of business coaches out there in the world, mm-hmm. you know, and they'll try to give you mindset techniques and all this kind of stuff. But I mean, my mentoring comes from nothing other than my lifelong experience of knowing what actually happens and what works. And I can see things before they happen. Mm-hmm. And my approach, and it might be from experience, but it's also just my personality that I'm very blunt and I'm very direct. And it's not for everybody, right?
No.
It's not for everybody. Like there's been times when, you know, you're on the verge of, hey, fuck you, Monty. I'm done with you, right? but you know, it's not for everybody, right? But this journey, if you want to create big things, like, I mean, you need that perspective. You need that honesty. You need somebody in your face going, you know what, you know, you got to stand up here. You got to be a better leader you're taking this wrong path or whatever it is. And probably especially around personalities and leadership, you know, this is where a lot of people go wrong in business because egos get in the way and, you know, especially with business partnerships, they can go, you know, sideways very easily. You know, that's why you've got to have that, I think the honest approach
in how
you deal with relationships is, it's a key thing if you ever want to do anything big.
I love it. No, I really, like to give you an example. I still remember it when we first met. We were kind of talking about the business and the projects I'm on. And then, I watched this fucking movie, this Netflix called The Secret. And you're like, fuck The Secret. It's like, don't imagine that shit. Fucking do that shit. Just do it. Like, don't think it out there and materialize and it'll come. That's not going to do it. I'm like, oh shit, he's right. You got like, and that I'm saying that because one, that's how blunt you were, but it actually woke me up because I was really, if I imagine that Porsche in my garage, it's going to come there. I'm going to close my eyes and hold the, you know, the shifter it's going to appear. It doesn't work that way. And people, I think that's why a lot of people quit.
Yeah, but the reason why so many people buy into that, and I'm not saying that the idea of manifestation or the law of attraction doesn't have some grounds or have some reality to it, yeah. Right? I'm not discarding it.
Yeah.
But what happens is people use that as a device to not take action. They're like, yeah. I'm just gonna manifest it, and not take the action. Like, it doesn't work like that. And then they're surprised when shit doesn't work out. They're like, you know, that's not how it works. You use those tools to support you in your action, but without the action, none of it means anything. Because there's been plenty of people throughout the centuries, thousands of years that have created success without tools of law of attraction and manifestation. It wasn't the thing that got everybody to where they're at. You know, like I had somebody contact me a couple of weeks ago, and she said, I'd really love you to tell me about you're so successful now. I'd love you to tell me about your vision boards. I'm like, I've never had a fucking vision board. Like, it's like, funny. I get it. But the vision board is a gateway to motivate you to take action. The results come from the action. There's different ways to get motivated, right? The goal setting, the law of attraction, whatever it is. It's just a gateway, a tool to help you to take action. At the end of the day, you got to take action. And, you know, bigger than just the results of what you get from taking action is the lessons that drop in, like the wisdom that you gain that will be with you forever, which is your new state. Right? Yeah. That is the more important thing. But what happens is people aren't willing to play that game. Most people are looking for the quick wins. They want the short answers. They want the hacks, right? So I think I'm not saying that hacks don't work, but if you've got the willingness to put in the work and be a lifelong entrepreneur, and then use those things as tools to support you rather than them being the only thing that you use.
No, it's true. Especially now, I think, you know, what's going on now with the lockdown, coronavirus, the whole world has changed. But out of this change, you can look at two ways. You can kind of just look down at it and says, man, the world's fucked. I don't know what I'm going to do. My life has changed. I don't know what to do. Or take advantage of it and says, okay, as a business owner, what am I going to do to adapt to it? And one of the things you wrote in the Forbes article was stop playing survival mode, right? Stop fucking playing survival mode. Play offense now, right? Think global. This is the time to do it, right? So just want to get your thoughts on that whole thing, because I love that article that you wrote, man. It made sense. And that's, again, that woke me up. I know you've always been talking about it, but reading it and then actually applying it to the new, you know, business that we're doing for the new Refine, that was exactly what we did. We stopped playing survival mode and says, all right, here's the rules. We know what the rules are now. Now go play offense.
Yeah. So, I mean, whilst this year's been, you know, like a tornado, the world's greatest opportunities are going to come out of this year, right? Yeah. Because what's happening is, regardless of, I'm not disregarding the fact that there's been some suffering in the world.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And I'm not like completely overly naively optimistic about everything. And I'm not disregarding the fact that there's stuff going on in the world, but it's not helpful to stay in that energy, right? It's not helpful for the world to just, to get stuck in that, like to feel sorry for yourself and, oh, I'm stuck in my condo and, you know, I can't do anything. It's like, you know, you've got to take responsibility and accountability for your results in your life. If you're at the mercy of everything that's happening outside your building and you're like, you know, the world's shit and I can't do anything because the world's shit. I mean, that is highlighting your general approach to life, right? So when in Australia we say when the shit hits the fan, I don't know if that's a saying in Canada, but when the shit hits the fan, right, it's like you've got a choice to step up, take accountability and make something of that, or, you know, or sit in that. And if you're willing to step up and look at it, you know, you kind of look from above and go, oh, what's really going on here? You will see that there are massive opportunities in the world, because what is showing up through all this turmoil is opportunities, because there's a shift in the way humans will interact with each other.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I've got a friend here in Bali, already successful, very successful Amazon business, selling water filtration systems. Right. And he was doing, you know, about $4 million a year online. And then the month that this happened, like March, April, his sales went up by 4 or 5 times. Right. Like 4 or 5, where everybody else is freaking out, his sales went up 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Right. Now, because people are online, they're doing stuff online, and then they're also interested in, people are now more interested in health, looking after themselves, because that stuff is kind of showing up, right? So you've got to look at what is going on and say, all right, where is the world going? Where is humanity moving towards? And if you can have eyes on that, you got to have the vision of the long game, right? Because if you're just always looking for the quick wins and go, oh, yeah, I can capitalize on this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to try to look for, you know, what's going to happen in the next 10 years? Which way is the economy is going to work? Where are people's spending going to happen? Like, the value in people's businesses are different now. Like, a year ago, Louis Vuitton handbags were very valuable, right?
Yeah.
Now there's no freaking need for Louis Vuitton handbags because nobody can go outside to see your freaking handbag.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, so you've got to look at what is valuable in the world now and what is going to be valuable in the world. In the
future. There is opportunities. There is a lot of opportunities. Like, look at, I think I just read Canva. Just, oh my God, they got another huge seed funding again, because everyone's on Canva because they're starting their businesses. They're using this because they don't have designers. They're trying to cut costs. I mean, there's opportunities everywhere. And I tell people that you just have to look at what the market is saying. Like, always watch the market and listen to it carefully. And then you can dictate, okay, you know, being, there's a lot of businesses, like even, you know, a friend of mine who has a bespoke suits. He's, at first he's like, man, no one's going to be wearing bespoke suits. So he transitioned to PPE suits for now. And I mean, but he'll go back to it when everything starts, not normalizing, but it changes, then he'll work with it as a true entrepreneur. And that's what you taught me, is that you have to adapt quickly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Stop, you know, feeling sorry for yourself and then, okay, adapt. How can you fix this?
Yeah. So, like, one of the businesses I'm involved in the Philippines is Revamp, which is streetwear, right? All of a sudden people aren't, there's no streets anymore, right? So there's no real need for streetwear. So, but very quickly Hershey adapted to making masks for clients all around the world. You know, short term opportunity, but then she's been working on her leisure wear, fitness wear, because there's more and more people working out at home. So she's just very, very quick to look at, here's what's happening in the world. Okay, I could get bogged down and, you know, try to focus on, all right, I got to sell all this streetwear, or I could just get on with the job of what's next, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Be what is next?
Yeah, exactly. So that's a good question for you. Like, what you're doing in Bali, because you used to live in the Philippines. Now you're in Bali. What is next for Monty Hook? Like, what? Like, right now, like I said, I reached out to you when I saw your first video, and I'm like, again, I know the process because I've been there from the very kind of somewhat the very beginning since we met and saw what you were doing, and you taught me a lot about, you know, becoming a CEO and branding yourself. Right? It's all about branding yourself, right? You asked me the question, I think you're the one who said, who is the CEO of Ford? And I am like, I have no idea. Who is the CEO of Tesla? Oh, Elon Musk. Exactly. Right? And that's what you taught me. But now I'm seeing you practice what you preach. Like, your setup now, what you're doing with your vlogs is amazing. And the knowledge that you're putting out, what is that next thing? What are you trying to push forward and teach people? Because that's just what we're needed. And I'm glad that you're doing it. It's because we need more people like yourselves that is doing this, because I'll be really jaded, but I'm seeing a lot of stuff online about business coaching. And I'm like, who are you? Like, I have no idea who you are. I don't know why you know, the stuff you're saying is basically a duplicate of what other people are saying, you know? But you, I just feel like I'm also biased because I know you. I love the message you're playing. So tell me a little bit more of now what that's that next step right now that you're doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing for me is I've kind of worked out over time that I actually get better results when I'm not so in the business, right? So I'm very good at creating the business, ideating, you know, founding the thing, working out the original processes.
Yeah.
But I'm not the best to stay in the business, right? So it's better for me to create something and then hand it over and mentor, coach, look over what's going on. I'm very good on numbers, making sure the performance of a business is good. So actually, my highest value is to be out of the business, right? Yeah. It took me a long time to kind of realize that. So I'm actually creating a business here in Bali called Lighthouse, which is it's a concept business, which is an event center. We've got a professional podcast studio, video studio, cafe, rooftop bar, seminar center. Now, my main driving force behind that is not that I have any interest in, you know, creating a cafe. My interest is in creating a space where important, inspiring messages can be created and be shared with the world, right? So if there's one thing I've kind of noticed, especially this year, is humanity is very disconnected from nature, right? And especially somewhere like Manila, right?
Yeah.
Like I lived there for 3 years. And the reason I like it in Bali is because it's, you know, it's a very spiritual place. I can surf. I'm, you know, very connected to nature, eating healthy foods, drinking buka. You know, it supports the lifestyle that I want to live. And what I think the world needs is a little bit of Bali everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So I think humanity needs to be more connected to nature. So one of my things now is actually not working more. Like I spend probably 5 hours a day working on my fitness, my health. Every day I'm in ice bath, sauna. You know, I've got all these practices. First thing I do in the morning is I do mobility movements. I do meditation. I do all these things. And it might seem like a bit of a woo-woo fluffy thing to do, mm-hmm. but it actually supports me to create more, right? So the way I explain that is it's like sharpening the axe. You know, there's that saying that, you know, give me 6 hours to cut down a tree and I'll spend the first 4 sharpening the axe, right?
Nice.
Like these are the practices that support me in sharpening my axe so I can be more effective and productive in you know, when I am in a meeting or whatever. But also it allows me to help me formulate, you know, probably my highest message for humanity. And that's where I feel called to go. Yes, it's still in the context of business, but what I really want to do is help and support entrepreneurs to be more tapped into, tapped into their spirituality, tapped into their health,
You
know, really great nutrition and be high performers. That's where I feel called to go. I'm still going to create businesses, absolutely, but I'm going to be more out of the business, and I want to be aligned to. I want to work with businesses and entrepreneurs that I'm fully aligned with.
Yeah.
So, that's the direction for me. And yeah. I can't say I'm going to be here in Bali forever. I'm not trying to retire. You know, like the people have this idea, this notion that they're going to work, they're going to hustle, and then one day they're going to have made it, right? They're going to make it. And then they'll be able to just relax and sip pina coladas on the beach and, you know, travel the world and do whatever. To me, it's like, I mean, that's a false dream, because it just means that you don't love what you're doing now anyway, right?
Yeah,
it's like, to me, I want to keep doing what I'm doing. Like all of it to me is just part of my life. And I love I love my day every day. And I just want to keep doing it. I can't see myself stopping that.
Well, that's a really good point, and that's why I want to talk to you, because that's one thing that we've talked about quite a bit is health is wealth, right? And especially what's going on right now with the virus and everything else, that one thing that people, you know, they'll talk about, wear the suits, wear the masks, don't touch this, wash your hands. But you rarely hear anybody say, fucking take care of yourself. Boost up your immune system. Eat properly. Stop eating that shit. Eat that instead. And really start building the immunity that you have inside you to take care of yourself. Then you don't have to worry about all this stuff. You know what I mean? What's going on? You're taking care of yourself. You work out. And I see it. And you know what I mean? Like when we work out, I'm, you know, I don't know how old you are. I can guess, but I'm turning 50.
I'm 64.
See? Perfect. But we don't look or feel that way because we take care of ourselves, right? But that's what we have to start saying with entrepreneurs. And you were saying it earlier, it's not also just hustle, hustle 24 hours. Like I love that you've only worked this much time in the day and then you still have time to serve your, you know, mobility, taking care of yourself, eating, you know, drinking buco. That is what new entrepreneurs have to learn also, aside from mentorship, but it's also taking care of yourself, right? You have to be around alive to run your business. But if you're dead, it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're gone.
Yeah. And I think, so on the topic of, you know, what's happening in the world and looking after your health, I'm not going to go down deep down the rabbit hole with you on this one, because I can go pretty deep, which is why my podcast is called The Rabbit Hole. But let me just say it like this. Not once in my life have I ever had a vaccination. Mm-hmm. Like I never was immunized as a child. I've never had a flu vaccine, and I am literally the healthiest person that I know. How is this possible?
Yeah.
Right. And a huge part of it is just because, like, I am 100% fully responsible for this vessel that I carry through life.
Yeah.
And I look after it. I did a lot of dumb shit and drank and took drugs and stuff when I was in my 20s. And, yeah, you know, but I learned very quickly to become responsible for, you know, for my body and, you know, not treat it like an amusement park. And it is by far the most powerful thing you can do. And it's not just for the sake of, it's for the sake of your health. But I actually think that a lot of humans have never really felt healthy, because, you know, especially somewhere like Manila, right? You're living in a toxic environment. There is pollution. There is, sorry to say, but the food in Philippines is very unhealthy. It's loaded with, you know, sugar and additives, and it's very unhealthy. And I think a lot of humans haven't experienced ever really feeling real vitality.
Yeah.
Right. So when you get a sense for that, then it's very empowering. And just on that word vitality, you know, this is the key thing for me is vitality is, yes, it's energy, right? But if you think of vitality as what is vital to you, right? Mm-hmm. What is vital to you and what is not vital to you? And it is not vital to you that when you wake up in the morning, that the first thing you do is check Instagram. That is not vital to your life.
Yeah.
Right. That does not support your life. That actually lowers your vitality. Right.
Yeah.
So it's not just about food and vaccines and that conversation. It's around how do you spend your day? What do you exclude from your life to increase your vitality?
Yeah.
Right. That is a huge part, and it's a very easy, that's the easiest thing people could be doing, is looking at those things.
Right? Yeah.
So, I think it's easy for us to get so distracted, right? Like we're so on our phones and we're doing this, but it just becomes an obsession, and it's, we're doing it mindlessly.
Yeah. And I think for me, that's why I love this, like doing the podcast. I'd rather do it in person, like face to face. But because that's that time that I'm, you know, doing this podcast, it's about an hour and a half. I don't look at my phone. I don't check Instagram. I'm not checking any messages. It's actually having an authentic connection with one other person, or it might be two. But that is what is needed in this world, is just sit and talk, you know what I mean? And get to know each other.
What's even more important than that is that time with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's even more important. So,
and I know for me, Yeah, and that's part of the whole all-in concept, right? Go all in, but not just in work, but in life.
Yeah, and the way, and this is why this idea of work, the separation between work and play and what's work, and to me, it's all the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it me is. Having this conversation is my work, but it feels the same to me as like going surfing. It's all one thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like I said, lessons I've learned from you is that is to find balance in life, right? So to, it's not about, you know, burning the candles on both ends kind of thing. Those days are over. You have to take care of yourself. Like we've talked about, you know, things from TRT to health and, you know, our age and, you know, fasting and, you know, being a vegetarian, all that stuff. It all kind of, it plays an important part. If you want to talk about business, it actually makes you a better leader because you're healthier, you're confident, you look good, you feel good. And a lot of people don't, you know, you hear about these, you know, very successful people that are the most unhealthiest people. And, you know,
yeah. Well, and here's, I remember you put a post up maybe a couple of months ago, said you were thinking about becoming vegetarian, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I commented, and I think I commented something like, I don't think I could do it. And I said, that's the reason why you should do it.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that you think you can't do it is the reason you should do it.
Yeah.
Right? Because what happens is this: people think that, okay, well, being vegetarian or being vegan would be hard, or intermittent fasting or going without food would be hard, right? Yeah. But what happens is when you do these things and you realize you get this awareness or this wisdom that, well, it's not that, you know, like it's not that hard. Oh, I can go without food, or I can go without this thing. I actually feel better without meat or whatever happens. Mm-hmm. It breaks your paradigm of what you thought. It breaks your reality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which then opens up new doors, and you start asking questions. Oh, what about this? Or what about that?
Yeah.
And then when somebody says to you, you know, offers you some kind of business opportunity or whatever, it's like you now have this different perspective that things are possible which you might not have thought possible before. Right. So doing those things just for the sake of doing them is a good idea.
Oh, no, I agree. And that, you know, like I said, for me, that really, the thing that works really well for me is the intermittent fasting, right? It's not a diet. It's just the timing. I just find that my synapses are firing. So like right after I have a bulletproof coffee, which I just had, I'm like, my mind is like this. It's so quick. And it's something as easy as don't eat until 1 o'clock, have a bulletproof coffee. I don't know what it is, but your brain is just like, I'm aware of everything that's going around me.
Yeah, there's a couple of things happening. And one of the things that happens with fasting is that people think that fasting is just going without the calories, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens is your body is in like a rest or digest kind of state, right? So when your body is not digesting food, right, it's actually healing itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the energy of your body can direct itself.
Yeah.
So if you were eating all day, like whatever amount of energy or calories you burn in a day, 50 to 55% of those calories is just your digestive system. Right.
Yeah.
So just the fact of giving your digestive system a break, letting it not do something, right, is what is triggering different chemical reactions in your body, which make you feel good and, you know, make you more alert, etc. Because you're giving your body a break, which is sending energy to other places.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. Like I like they always say that your stomach, your gut is your second brain, right? So by feeding that and taking care of that, you know, the whole autophagy, you know, process of your cells, you know, help, you know, fixing other bad cells during your fasting. I actually feel so much better and more aware of what's going on. And that's why I kind of want to bring that topic up about health, because a lot of people, like I said, a lot of entrepreneurs, especially new ones, they forget about that important part. You know, it's great to have a mentor, get that mentor, learn, fail quick, learn quick. But none of that is important if you're unhealthy, right? You have to take care of yourself.
Yeah. And here's something I'll add to this, because people think of health in terms of diets, right? Because what we're fed in the media is, you know, you should do this diet and you should do that diet, and you know, keto is the greatest thing and everybody should do keto. But to me, the mindset, I'm not saying that those things don't work, but yeah. The mindset of diet is not a healthy mindset, because it means you're always looking for the quick wins, like the hacks, the short answers. To me, what I'm interested in is a healthy lifestyle, right? I don't need diets, right? I don't need quick wins. I'm interested in my body being a certain way forever. Yeah. Right? Everything is kind of integrated and I don't need to do a diet. Will I change my training regime, and will I change how many carbs I eat depending on, you know, on, you know, if I'm trying to build muscle or whatever? Sure. Like I'll change my macros and I'll do stuff like that, but it's never about a diet. And the important message here, especially for entrepreneurs, is don't treat your life like a diet.
Yeah. Right? And I always say, what's the first three letters in diet? Is die.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. It's scary, and you're right. And so, I mean, like I said, this is the conversation we're having right now is probably pretty typical of the conversations we've had, and I love this. And I guess this is actually weird for me, because I feel like, am I asking questions? I'm actually just talking to you, because this is what we normally do as, you know, mentor, mentee, and stuff like that. But to kind of, you know, last kind of message for you, for other people, I know one of the biggest things is, you know, what message would you give that, like the message I got from that gentleman that wanted to start a business, wants to be an entrepreneur, you know, and one, another guy, you know, messaged me, how do I find my purpose, kind of thing, right? I feel like all these questions are sort of the same, because I think it's about themselves, inner, they're asking themselves. So, yeah. You know, for you, I'm asking you, how would you answer this? What message can you give to a brand new entrepreneur?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, it's part of the human experience. It's part of the human experience to want to understand what your purpose and your highest meaning is, right? That comes from a very deep place, right? And it's very hard to articulate, but where I think people go wrong is this. We're all sold on the idea these days that, you know, you should pursue your purpose, you know, follow your purpose, find your purpose. But the issue is people get so desperate to find their purpose, right, that they get so wrapped up in, oh, I need to find my purpose, right? But here's what I'll say. What I believe is that purpose is fleeting. Purpose changes. Like there is a theme to your purpose. But so what I say is this, instead of looking for your purpose, bring purpose to what you are doing, right? Do things purposefully, right? Now, that doesn't take away from the idea of finding your highest purpose, but I know for myself, I will forever, my whole life be, people look at me and go, oh, you're so on purpose, you found your purpose. I've never met a single person that I've ever spoken to that has like, could say, oh, I fully found my purpose. Because the whole thing is, it's a lifelong journey. Your purpose in life is to be forever seeking your purpose. That is your purpose, right? So bring purpose to what you are doing, and then you will be in you'll have the energy and the space of being aligned to more to your purpose, right? When you're desperate, think of it like, here's another way of saying it, right? People kind of know that you want to fall in love, right? Well, when you stop looking for love, well, that's when you find love, right? Oh, yeah. When you're so desperate for it and you're out seeking it, it's like, well, you're just going to look in all the wrong places.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Same with purpose. People are desperate to find their purpose. But the way to find love is to bring love to yourself and bring love to the world.
Yeah.
Bring purpose to the world. Bring purpose to what you are doing, whatever it is that you are doing in the moment. So what I would say to new entrepreneurs is, what are you good at? What are you good at? What's the first thing you could make money from? Just do that and bring purpose to it. And then it will unfold. A journey will unfold. It will be like, okay, well, maybe that's not it, but it will lead to the next thing and the next thing, and the next thing will always unfold. But what the illusion that people have is that there is a finite purpose thing that you are going to find. right? And then you're going to find that, you're going to make $1 billion, and then you're going to sit back on the beach and drink pina coladas.
No.
It's a fucking illusion.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Your purpose in life is to be constantly bringing purpose and just constantly being on that journey, and it will unfold. And when you can be in love with the journey, well, that is the purpose, right? So bring purpose to what you are doing in every moment.
Fuck. On that note, man, I thank you so much, man. Like I said, I love talking to you. You know, that's a given, but I'm hoping the listeners, man, hopefully they reach out to you. I mean, that's my biggest recommendation, man. Start following Monty. Like I said, his guidance in my 3 years in the Philippines, I wish I knew him earlier when I was in Toronto, but that wasn't my journey. My journey was here and meeting you, because you were probably one of the first ones I met here in the Philippines when I first came here to check out, you know, the Philippines when I was living in Toronto, and we've talked, we kept in touch then. And then, you know, we started that business. I love it. And I, you know, like I said, thank you so much for being this. Cause again, for me, my purpose, one of my purpose right now, and I'm putting purpose into this, is I want to inspire people, man. I want to inspire people not to live their normal life and really be an author of their book. And I feel you are a great example of that. I follow your Instagram. So follow Monty on his Instagram. You'll see a lot of his doggy. You know, you'll check out all the information below. You'll see him on the beach. Again, he's earned that every day. And that's what I feel like. People need to work hard to earn that every day and just live purposeful. And that's a great message at the end, man. But thank you so much for being on this episode of All In, man. And we got to do this again. Again, we'll have our private conversations. But until then, thank you so much, man.
Absolutely, man. It's been a pleasure, sir. Yeah, happy to connect with everybody and see you here in Bali.
All right. Talk to you later, bro.
See you, man.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to All In, a podcast brought to you by The Refine, a gentleman's lifestyle experience. Visit therefinedlounge.com for more details.